Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to yet another episode, another conversation in the book of James. I think I was telling Dean, Brian, a few episodes ago that when I did the book of James as a Bible study some years ago, I called the book Personal, Powerful, Practical. Hmm. Would that be a good description?
Oh, yeah. You know, another phrase I like that's been said about the James is the Proverbs of the New Testament.
Hmm.
You know, it's just that practical book that's right there. You can read it. You got action items, you know, that you can just say, man, I need to work on this and I need to work on this. And you don't have any question really about the clarity of what the Christian life looks like on street level.
Was it Moody that said, if it wasn't Moody, it was you know, one of those old preachers, said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that bother
me. Absolutely. Yeah, and none probably clearer than what we're talking about right now with the tongue.
Yeah, you know? There's no wiggle room in the book of James.
Boy, we could use our words better, couldn't we? I mean, you know, you said something at the end of the last episode that I when somebody does something intentionally to encourage me, I mean, just think about what that does for you. Mm. I'm not looking for flattery or pats on the back, and that's the way I'm going to survive in life. But man, when somebody just intentionally says, hey man, I love you. You've ministered me in this way. Your family has been a blessing to me in this way. I mean, it just does that. It just lifts your heart and encourages you. And that's how we're supposed to be using our words.
Unverbalized positive thoughts do nothing for anybody.
Wow. Yeah, there's a difference between experiencing thanks and expressing thanks.
Mm. You know, yeah. That's good. Preachers think in alliteration, experience, express, yeah, you know. So look at verse, if you have your Bible there and you can follow along, we're actually in the end of verse 8, where it said, and setteth on fire the course of nature, it is set on fire of hell. So we ended last episode talking about the fact that the misuse of words is really devilish.
Absolutely.
And then verse 7 is such a striking contrast or illustration, I should say, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. So you think about, James wrote that years ago. Yeah, yeah, that we've tamed elephants to do our work and you know, horses and sea creatures. And I think even today, you go to SeaWorld and people are riding on the back of a killer whale.
Yeah, and you know, really a cool one there, just as a side note. I'd like to see a tamed serpent. Wouldn't that be cool? What do they do with them?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see these guys that play the flute and the cobra comes up. It's like, no way. You know, good snake is a dead snake. Yeah, right. But the whole point is, we can take these creatures that have so much power to kill us, or they're so dangerous, and we can tame them. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, unruly, untamable, full of deadly poison. Boy, that really brings the picture to our mind that just how volatile and how important it is for us to guard our tongue. That's the whole point, to guard it. If you had an untamable animal, you would make sure you kept that thing on a leash.
Yes.
If you had an untamable animal, you would be careful about letting it unsupervised around people you love. Mm-hmm. And yet, where do we do most of the damage with our tongue? Mm. With people we love.
Absolutely.
That's where we don't guard our tongue.
Yeah,
we might guard it with a stranger.
Yeah.
But then with our own kids or our own wives, we take it off the leash.
Absolutely. And I was actually thinking at the end of last episode, I was thinking how practical for people that are listening right now, if you're married, If you have children, sometimes we think a lot in terms of preachers because we are them. But, you know, I think, boy, if I've ever got myself in trouble or ever had challenges in my own life, it's sometimes I get that freedom and carelessness around my wife or my kids. And boy, that's the last place in the world that I want to have poison and fire. I want there to be peace and grace and love and harmony in that home. And a lot of times it's about being a Psalm 19:14 Christian. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable.
But think about
sight. Think
both of them. It's impossible.
Oh, absolutely.
In other words, deal with the fruit. That's the words of my mouth. But you're never going to deal with the fruit until you deal with the root.
Yeah, he's going there too.
He's going to go there.
The source matters.
That's right. You know? So let's talk about one more kind of big misuse of the tongue, mm-hmm. and then let's get right where you just referenced. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. So look at verses 9 through 12, because this is one more misuse of the tongue. I think it's four verses that deal with the same topic, where it says, therewith, with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father. So with the tongue, we sing holy, holy, holy. We sing amazing grace. We say amen to a message. We say, God bless you, brother. We bless God. And therewith, with the same tongue, curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, out of the same mouth.
Right.
Proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go to a mountain stream somewhere and take a drink and say, oh, that was so good. And then take another drink and say, oh, that's salt water. No, the fountain sends forth either salt or sweet, but not alternately salt or sweet. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either the vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So all four verses, verses 9 through 12, deal with a tongue that is forked.
Yes.
Sometimes we'll say it this way. Man, that guy speaks out of
Both sides of his mouth.
Mm. So, man, you know, this one's getting me.
He's picking up, I think, also on that language all through chapter 2 of that duplistic lifestyle. I'm
right.
saying one thing, but I'm doing another. And here again, it's all about control. Who is in control? If your faith is in control of your life, you're going to be, in this case, speaking things that are very God-centered and very scripturally and Christ-honoring, instead of being controlled in the opposite way, which would not be your faith working in the matter of your tongue.
Yeah, the hypocrite is the ultimate spiritual schizophrenic, because in chapter 1, he's double-minded.
Right.
You know, so he thinks one way, thinks another way. He can't keep his mind stayed upon the Lord and the wisdom offered by him. And then here in chapter 3, he's double-tongued. So alternately, he can speak well of God. He knows how to speak the religious language. Man, he can preach an eloquent message. He sings a stellar, special song, but he's in the back stage area criticizing.
Right, right.
He's in the back room gossiping. And it's the same mouth.
Right.
So is that possible? And James at once says, no, it's not only impossible, it's illogical. It's not borne out in any other place in nature. A fountain wouldn't be that way. A plant wouldn't be that way. If I looked at an apple tree, even before apple growing season, I would have a reasonable expectation that that tree would produce apples.
Yeah, not oranges.
So if I looked at a tree, if I looked at a Christian, I would have a reasonable expectation that the fruit of that Christian would be healthy, kind, loving, edifying words. Mm-hmm. But if somebody has the shape of a Christian, the plant life of a Christian, and yet it produces these corrupt words, or these slanderous words, or these unkind words, then what am I to assume?
Mm-hmm. That
That's not authentic.
It's a sour fountain, right.
It's not authentic. It's
absolutely. Yeah.
So hypocrisy.
Oh, man.
You ever want to do a great study, Brian? I'd challenge you to do this. Look at every time the word hypocrisies, because the word hypocrisy is a transliterated English word from the Greek word hypocrisies. Look at that in the New Testament. It's found I'm about 10 times or so, I'm guessing. And study that word, how it's used. And then look at the opposite, anupocritus, without hypocrisy.
Yeah, unfeigned.
Unfeigned. Right. And just jot down your findings. And I would challenge our readers, those of you that you know could look at some Bible software, look at Blue Letter Bible or eSword or something and look up those words. It's an amazing study. It really is.
Yeah.
So you talked a moment ago about, okay, so these words, they really are a reflection of a deeper root issue. And even the verses we just read indicate that the words we use come out of the soil of our heart, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's read the verse, and then I want you to comment on it. So verse 13, right in the context, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show, let him demonstrate out of a good conversation, in other words, a good lifestyle, which would include your words, a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. So talk to me about where these words come from.
Yeah, well, you know, your works with meekness of wisdom, that's your self strength, what you could do under control, that word meek. You know, when you synthesize the whole thing, it is about control. He makes that statement, the tongue can no man tame. So you don't have that power to essentially direct your own words. So therefore, you're either being controlled by one or the other. You're either being controlled by God and His Spirit to produce these sweet words or godly words, or you're being controlled, sadly, and in a frightening way, by Satan and the evil one that is actually producing. So the source of yielding your members of it as an instrument of righteousness becomes very critical in the way that you speak. This is a daily dying to self exercise of being filled with the Spirit at the end of the day. God, if I said what I wanted to say right now, it would be awful, and I need you to fill me with your Spirit so that when I do speak, I speak the right kinds of things.
No, that's so good. And to me, the verse that unlocked all of this in my thinking, the best is the very next verse where it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife, here it is, in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, because that's where the words come from.
Yep.
They come from the envying and the striving that we have in our hearts. And envy is, I deserve what you have. I want what you have. I'm going to fight for what you have. So those words then just become a reflection of the heart issues that we've not dealt with.
Yeah. You ever heard somebody say something and you, like, I've said this to Angie before. I've said, I can't believe they said that, but what's even crazier is that they had to think about it before they said it, because that's what the Bible says. So that you were sitting there thinking about that long enough that you actually said that shows a whole lot about who you are and where your heart is. And these are all, what you just read, that's all the natural man, that's all the flesh. And the flesh produces these results. So, you know, if that's the source of where you're living, you're not living this Christian faith walk that James is describing.
So back to chapter 2, yep. If works then can be the indicator of our faith, then words can be the indicator of our heart.
Absolutely.
It always comes back to source, cause and effect, source. So too often we just deal with, in some of our churches, we just deal with, okay, get your works right. Get your words right. Don't say that. Don't do that. But that ultimately, moralistically, is going to fail, because you can't change human behavior. Only God can do that. So you've got to come back to the sufficiency that we have in Christ alone to say, really the answer here is an emboldened faith, because the more that I know that God is real, the more that I fear him for who he is and understand his person, the more that my life is going to demonstrate that there's works. Mm-hmm. And the more that my heart is fixed upon him, my heart is full of, controlled by the Spirit of God, the more my words will reflect that God is in control of my heart.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, Brother Schmidt, Brother Carey is so good at teaching this when he talks to parents and leaders, and this moralism that sometimes we trap into even as parents. If my daughter says something negative or gets upset about something and maybe something comes out of her mouth, I can go at her and say, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, that's also true, but I ought to be able to sit down with her and say, hey, why do you think your words came out like that? Like, what are you feeling or what are you going through?
That's so much better, because sometimes if we just jump on the root, mm-hmm. then all we're doing is mowing grass.
Right.
So we take care of that and we're embarrassed. She said that in front of my friend.
Right.
So we want to take care of that. But if we've not taken care of the root, oh, she might not say that anymore in front of you.
Right.
Oh, she'll say it now under her breath.
Right.
Or she'll say it to her friend, or she'll say it when she's 18. So let the words and let the works be what they're supposed to be, an indicator of what really needs to be worked on.
Absolutely.
And what really needs to be worked on is my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and my heart. And that's what we're finding, at least in these chapters. Hey, we'll finish this chapter next episode. And I really want to go into just those heart issues. You know, what does true wisdom look like? A heart that is bent upon seeking God. What does that really look like? And what will that produce in my life?
Yes.
So we'll get there tomorrow. Hey, my friends, thanks for tuning in again today. I do hope you have a wonderful day serving the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.